and welcome back to another episode of This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Christian Linsberger.
And Dan is out sick today, which can only mean one of two things. Either he didn't want to show his face after the beating that the University of Florida Gators delivered to the Miami Hurricanes, or that he's home playing with the Creature Creator.
Yeah, with
Spore.
I guess it's the second thing.
Yeah, right? Probably. So what's the deal with the... I don't know how many times we're going to make that joke, but what's the deal with the new Microsoft News ads? Everyone's asking me. All my relatives are asking me this. Everyone's asking me what's going on with those ads. I don't know.
I'm asking you too.
Yeah.
What's going on?
we're all kind of hoping that that it's going to be part of a larger campaign, and then it's all going to start to make sense, and we're going to figure out why Bill Gates was eating churros with Jerry Seinfeld. But at this moment, I don't have any idea. So we'll just have to check in as that story develops. But speaking of videos, Windows Movie Maker is now part of the Windows Live offerings.
Yeah, that's really cool. But I think now is that they are going to release more often.
Yeah.
Which is, right now Movie Maker is like never got some updates, right? Only like bug fixes and stuff, but never like new features.
Yep.
So it's, how old is Vista now?
Vista, gosh, we're coming up on 2 years old, right?
Yeah, it never got updates, right?
Yeah.
So it only got bug fixes. Even with Service Pack 1, it didn't get really updates.
Yeah.
And this one looks also good because they introduced now this Fluent UI ribbon thing.
Oh, right.
Yeah, which looks... I like it.
Yeah, it's grown on me.
Yeah.
I mean, it took a while to get used to it. I'm sure there's still people that hate that kind of office ribbon style stuff.
But, yeah, of course.
But I like it. And another thing that they're going to be doing is allowing you to publish your movies directly to Soapbox and to YouTube.
Oh.
So I think it's really cool. I think that it's an area that I'm glad to see Microsoft investing in because obviously, you know, video 3 years ago wasn't nearly as popular as it is now.
Yeah, that's true.
Stuff that, you know, just continues to get more and more popular, I guess. So interesting to see what they'll do there. And then speaking of Windows Live, the photo gallery, they announced that they're going to add facial recognition.
Oh.
So this is really cool. It's not available today, so there's nothing for you to rush out and download. But they're going to support tagging, so like you do in Facebook.
Oh, it's even better than in Facebook.
Right.
Because in Facebook, you can only say, like, this is the person I want to tag it, and they do this rectangle, but that's a fixed size.
Oh,
and what
okay.
you can do here is like you can really draw the rectangle.
Oh wow!
So you can like tune, right?
Yeah.
So if a person is like standing away from you, you can make a smaller rectangle, and if it's like nearby, you can create a bigger one. So you know, you really focus on the. That's something that I always missed in Facebook.
Yeah.
You have this fixed size, and it's independent of the content of the picture itself.
Right.
And this one is allowing that, so that's really cool.
So this would be really cool. I can't wait to play with the actual facial recognition to see if it like recognizes your face and Leonardo DiCaprio as the same person and me and Neil Patrick
Harris.
That
would be cool, Harris. You know, like you know, like have them. A related graph, you know, but I don't think they're doing that so far. You know?
We
don't know.
We have no idea.
No, but it would be cool if they added that, like they find the faces and then they say, well, listen, these are the faces. Do you want to add a person to it? You know, like connect the dots for the application.
Well, that's what they're saying is that you'll be able to not only tag all your pictures, but then link that back to your Windows Messenger contacts. So it all just becomes kind of, you know, Facebook is the place that I go when I have my own presence there, but I've already got all my social networks built in Messenger and in the spaces that I use. And so Microsoft, it's interesting to see them taking a different approach to say, look, we've already got all those assets. Let's just find ways to link them together.
Well, it's great, you know, to have it like the connection between Messenger and, and the pictures.
Yep.
Because I think a lot of Niners are going use Messenger, and you know it's a popular application.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's really cool.
Yeah. So speaking of new stuff, so new Zune software has been announced. So this is coming in a fall update. I don't know exactly when they're publishing that, but sometime
looks like
soon.
The Xbox updates, right? Fall.
Yeah.
Spring.
Same. Well, it's the same team. It's a.
Ah, is it?
It's all underneath. Jay Allard and Robbie Bach and all those guys. So they're on the same kind of development schedule. It looks like. But a couple things here. One of them is called Buy from FM. So you know The Zunes themselves have FM built in, and they're allowing you to now say, hey, I really like the song I'm listening to, click a button, and then it will go out, and if you're connected to the internet right then it will go out and purchase
like
the song.
If you are nearby a Wi-Fi spot, right?
Right, if you're in a hotspot. And if not, then what you can do is it'll add it to a list, and the next time you do synchronize, then it can go out and buy the song. Mm-hmm. So that would be especially cool if you have one of the Zune passes that just allows you to get any music that you want.
Oh, I signed up for that.
Yeah, it's
like
really
that
sweet.
Was the first thing that I did when I came to Microsoft, because I have the Zune, and it's really sad that they added these features and stuff, mm-hmm. but it's only available in the US.
Oh.
So you kind of get it like, I have it, but, you know, just
yeah,
because
that's there a whole some, other can of worms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing is that I knew about the Zune bus, but since I was outside of the US, I couldn't get that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and when I was here, I was like, oh, yeah, I need that, I need that. So the first thing that I did was, like, signing up for it.
Yep.
And it's, oh... It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really nice. And then the other thing that they're talking about now is channels.
Oh.
So let's say that, you know, because this is a problem I have. I'm not in touch with what the kids are listening to now these days. but I would love to be... So I get most of the songs I listen to are on the radio. So now I can buy those on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say that I just want to get music that meets a particular genre or, you know, might be really good music for studying.
Yeah, you want to, like, chill out, right?
Yeah, exactly. Chill out music or cooking music, whatever, right? And so now I'll be able to listen to these channels and then it'll just kind of feed content to me. So that'll be available to people that have the Zune Pass, or you can purchase the music a la carte via if you don't have a Zune Pass.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, sounds cool.
And then new Zune hardware too.
Yeah, which, that's true. Actually,
yeah, I didn't even know these were coming, and they just showed up in the company store this week.
Yeah, no, I one of my friends at the company here bought one.
Which one did he get?
He got the 120 gigs.
Wow, that's just
I have at home. I have like an external USB disk, like a hard disk, an external one, and. That's exactly the same size. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's more hard drive space than my laptop has, actually, which is kind of sad. Note to self.
So you can hook the Zune to it.
Exactly. So switching gears out of the consumer stuff and now talking about developers. So MSDN Social Bookmarks, they've officially launched this week. We talked about these... This project on the show a few months ago, and the idea that you can just go out and you can find anything and you can tag it, and so you could say this particular article matches PDC 2008, for example. Have you done any of the social bookmarking yet?
Not yet.
Okay, but it's actually pretty cool. You basically end up installing a an item on your favorites menu, and so you can install that under links so that it shows up in the header of your Internet Explorer or whatever browser you're using, and then you go to the page you're looking for and you just say make this a social bookmark, and then it pops over to MSDN with that link information, pulls in the header of the page and any description text it can find, and then you modify it and you say I want to tag it to this.
Now we only need the web slides for this, right?
Yeah, I like the way you think.
That would be cool, you know, like a slice coming down with all your bookmarks.
Yeah, definitely. And then so you can, from there, you can share the information with other people. But it was kind of interesting to see the statistics. Within the first 30 days while they were in beta, 20,000 bookmarks created.
So, yeah, and what this statistics shows too is like, it looks like a little bit, if you look at the graph, it looks like as if only a few of the tags were like reused.
Mm-hmm.
But these few tags are the most tagged tags. Like they are like the most articles are having these tags, right? They're
right.
The ones that
have
been used the most
often. .NET or
C# or Visual Basic, whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. But Britney Spears is probably...
Or J-Sharp,
Britney Spears,
you know, probably.
Ouch. Burn. You had to go there.
I'm just joking.
So moving right along. So MSDN Search, another round of MSDN Search improvements. So this is my friend Justin Grant that posted a blog talking about a lot of enhancements they've made there. And it's interesting to see that them really putting feature development behind this. You know, for years... MSDN was just a text box, and I don't think they really had a team that was working on MSDN Search.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to see that they're serious about this. You know, we also covered...
Well, you know that, right? I mean, I never used MSDN Search.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Because it just didn't work.
Yeah.
Now it's getting better, right?
Yeah, definitely getting better. They've added a lot of ways for you to filter the content you're looking for. So, you know, if you're only looking for results that come from the MSDN library or from a samples gallery or something like that, then you can do that. And you can also search by language scoping. And they've also partnered with, is it Krugel.net or Krugel.com?
Okay.
So you can do searches for code. So if you're looking for any instance of... I don't know, a particular keyword in C#, and you want to find samples, lambdas, for example, then you can search for a code sample, and then it will search all of the code that's available on MSDN search.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, so you should check that out. That's just now released.
You know, if you want to start with something, mm-hmm. you always need some samples.
Exactly. Yeah.
To get you like speed up, you know.
Exactly.
And that's interesting. Yeah.
The script kitty in me loves it.
Yeah. And do they search as only MSDN and TechNet, or do they also like Code Gallery?
I believe Code Gallery is included because that's part of MSDN. I don't know if they've brought in CodePlex. That would be interesting to see if CodePlex was included as well. But it's a natural extension, right?
Well, yeah. And that's something that the Niners can find out, right?
Yeah, exactly. Find out. Post a comment and let us know.
Yeah.
So Project Rosetta, do you want to talk about this one?
Yeah, why not, you know? Well, this is like a video that was posted on Internal 9 where Adam actually went mm-hmm. to one of the guys who wrote one of the first articles for Rosetta. Mm-hmm. And this is going to show from the designer's perspective about how to migrate from Flash to Silverlight. So what do I need to know? What's different? Like if I search for brush in Flash, how do I find a brush in Blend?
Right.
Or... Yeah. Also, he also talks about like Visual Studio, like because in Flash you don't have Visual Studio, and mm-hmm. if you start with Silverlight, you better get a little bit used to. Like as a designer, you should know a little bit about Visual mm-hmm. Studio to get like some basics in there. And they talk about that, and he really wrote it from that standpoint. Like I'm in Flash, and I want to start with Silverlight. So mm-hmm. what do I need to know? Like 10 steps or something, you know?
Yeah, it's super, super cool. And what I liked about his approach to the articles is he actually shows you, okay, here's a Flash example, and here's the code for that Flash. And now what would we do differently to get this running in Silverlight? And then he shows the Silverlight example, and it's running in the web page, and it does the exact same thing. And so you can really see the mapping.
See,
exactly.
The difference and how it looks out. Sorry, yeah.
Yep, yep. And he talks a lot about the designer-developer workflow that exists in Silverlight as opposed to
Flash. Yeah, well,
that's
different, you know. In mm-hmm. Flash, it's like the designer and... The designer does everything, I guess.
Exactly.
And then, like, the web designer puts this applet in.
Just drops the object code. Yeah,
drops it in, and that's it.
Yep.
And here it's really different. It's more tight, you know. And you can also do, like, more because behind the scenes it's, like, C#. And so mm-hmm.
Yep,
it's a
framework. Exactly. So check that out. Project Rosetta just launched. And speaking of walkthroughs.
Yeah, this is another, it's a white paper, mm-hmm. and it's like showing you how to migrate from .NET 2.0, but also from .NET 1.0 mm-hmm. to .NET 3.5.
Nice.
So it's a nice white paper having also a video on, like a link to a video where you can see like how you do the translation.
Right.
And it's really interesting because he is also including a lot of pictures and diagrams to show what's different and how.
And
to
we like
do.
Pictures. We hate reading.
Well, no, it's not. You know, it's like if it's having like an amount of pictures and an amount of reading, it's nice.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
You read stuff and then you see it again and like it's better to learn stuff.
Right.
At least for me, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I like pictures in this way.
I really like what they've done with, kind of on a related note, with Visual Studio now in that, you know, I can use Visual Studio 2008 and still target applications that were written with .NET Framework 2.0.
Yeah.
But at some point, you know, you probably are going to want to upgrade those applications to take advantage of
which
.NET
usually
Framework
is not
3.5.
One click, right? Because
right.
It might be one click if it's...
Yeah, .NET Framework 1.0 to 1.1 was pretty seamless, but then going, you know, from 1 to 2 or from 2 to 3.
Yeah, it's actually 2 to 3, right? That's the, the new features and stuff. And
exactly.
I don't know if he's also mentioning stuff like adding new features like WPF and so. Mm. I haven't seen that in the paper.
Yeah, but yeah, that's a great opportunity. I mean, Windows Forms still is around and exists, right?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
maybe
you can
a good opportunity to use WPF.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a good white paper there. So PDC.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah, it sure is. You'll be back in Europe by that time, won't
you? Yeah, I know.
Bummer.
And my projects are going to be presented at PDC, which is cool.
Oh,
but
man.
I'm not there, so it's like,
But we are posting all the sessions online, so you'll be able mm-hmm. to check out the session recordings.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it's like being there.
Yeah.
But you don't
somehow,
get all the,
you know, because what I usually when I go to a conference, it's more like the social stuff, right?
Oh, right.
So I go to some of the sessions, but...
You're spending most of your time at a LAN party or something like that.
Yeah, of course.
but in the ongoing saga of updating everyone on PDC, there's 50 new PDC's 2008 sessions which were posted. And you said that you heard more...
Yeah. It's also saying that... It's saying in this article... And that we're going to link to, that there's also going to be a lot more on 7. On
Windows
7.
7,
yeah.
Nice.
So it's not disclosed yet, but, you know, PDC comes nearer and nearer and nearer.
Yep.
And they will disclose these sessions in the near future.
And I don't know if a lot of people realize, but I mean, I don't know about you, but I still haven't even seen Windows 7. So it's pretty, okay, maybe you've seen it. I mean, even within Microsoft, it's still pretty pretty tight-lipped, so it'd be exciting to see what happens at PDC.
When I started here, I tried to go to the internal website of Windows 7, and it gave me like, no, you're not authorized.
So good.
It's just, you know, you need to know, like, if you're doing some stuff for 7, then you probably...
Need-to-know basis.
Yeah, you need to know people and stuff, right?
Nice.
Yeah.
So this is kind of cool. Do you want to talk about this, what Nikhil is up to?
Yeah, this is a nice library about... It's actually a framework that includes a lot of new... you see them on the screenshot. A lot of new... effects and transitions for Silverlight. And you can use them. It's like a one line or something, an example, to enable your pictures or your framework elements in general to be show this effect, right?
Yeah.
The transition. So it's quite
nice. They're really nice looking. And the nice thing that Nikhil's done is he's gone out and he's created a page with that's just running in Silverlight on his website, and you can click on each one of them.
Yeah,
and
which is this screenshot, right?
Yeah.
You can just go through it. And he's also having a small gadget, I guess, this weather thing, right?
Oh, okay.
Using it. So some of the
The weather thing. Yeah, you can run that too.
That's also on the blog, so in the post, it's using some of the transitions as well. So you can see it with a real application.
Oh yeah, exactly.
And not only like the samples.
Well, that's a useful application right there. What are you talking about?
Out of the box, right?
Yeah. So nice job, Nikhil. He's doing some really cool stuff. So top 10 link myths.
Yeah, that's
so,
something.
Right up there with Bigfoot, right? So what's this all about? Yeah.
Well, this is the top 10 myth about link in general. So people think like you need to use the var keyboard to have like a link query, and you need to use like the query these expressions like from blah blah blah, and stuff. But that's not true. You can also use your like meta calls instead of from. Like he's showing on this website here how to translate stuff to make it look like more C# like.
Oh, okay.
And that not only like you don't need to use the keywords, but you can also do different ways like workarounds to still do everything in link. And he also shows up that you don't. What people think about link is if they write a query, link to SQL, they need to write the link statement as if it's SQL. But that's not true. So a lot of people think that, and he shows like examples where it's even better to like write it otherwise.
Okay.
So just stick with your object-oriented code, and link will just do it. You know, will do the link to SQL and make it, it will be a nice SQL, but you don't need to care about that.
Right. So,
but a lot of people think actually that they need to care about how they like lay out stuff.
Right.
But you know, link is like they get in the whole graph and they can then optimize. You know, it's not that you need to care about that.
Okay.
And that's what he's showing. Like he's going step by step through different kind of myth, and I find it quite interesting because a lot of people. There's one thing that I'm missing in there, and that is that he's not pointing out that link is also for objects. He's more like pointing out it's for SQL.
Oh.
But link is not only for SQL. So
right.
You should take that in, you should, you know about that you can do a lot of stuff with links.
Right.
Link which don't rely to any database, right?
Yeah, so definitely.
That's something that he's missing.
That's cool. So I like the idea of myths. I haven't actually seen that before, but what I am more familiar with is anti-patterns. So, you know, you've got patterns and anti-patterns, and I think it's a great way to learn about technology. So, you know, tell me how you should not use this, and that's kind of the way that I learn, you know, best. And so looking at the myths and debunking those, that's also another good way to explore if you're the type of person like me that...
He's a myth-buster, right?
Yeah, exactly. A myth-buster. Yep. Have you seen the paintball thing with the
Mythbusters? No,
we'll have to get a link to that. It's really pretty cool. So here's another.
So what's that actually?
Sorry.
What's this one here?
Oh yeah. So this is using PowerShell. So I think it's a Microsoft research team released this thing that they called NetMap that allows you to go out, and it was designed to go out and build a graph based on network relationships.
So it's network nodes or stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, like. kind of doing trace routes or whatever and trying to figure out what the hops are that exist between this server. So, but what's interesting here is this guy, Doug Fink, he went out and used that to graph a bunch of data that he pulled in from the World Bank. And so you could think of using this to graph, you know, any sort of data. But he graphed the relationship between income level and countries. And so visualized that, which actually I have to think he's probably seen the TED video that that actually does the same thing, where he looks at the various countries that exist and their what do they show, the life expectancy, and so you visualize that over time, and it's just a very interesting way of visualizing all this data, because you know the World Bank and all these different, the United Nations, they've got all this data, and they say getting the data is not a problem, but they need people to do more research to actually visualize and draw conclusions out of this data. So it's kind of neat to see something that was designed for PowerShell actually being applied to a cause like this.
And
so.
It's like a one-liner or a few lines of code, what I've seen, right?
Exactly.
So you can directly like feed the stuff that you're like filtering in this net map, and it's showing it.
Yeah, so pretty cool. Very,
It's very interesting. Very
intriguing way of using that. So you want to talk about this one? So FFLab?
Yeah, that's something. That's a C sharp. It's a FF. It's a library that converts videos, right? So it's like FFmpeg.
Right.
But this one is for C sharp. So you can use instead of using FFmpeg from your application, you can use directly this library inside of your C sharp code. It's open source.
Yeah.
And it's also it's free. And you can directly, like, it's again a one-liner,
where
you can specify your video and your output format, and it will just encode that for you.
That's really cool. We use FFmpeg for all of the Channel 9 videos.
Oh.
And so they get uploaded to a server. And
so these for the iTunes or iPod or what? The MPEG 4?
Yeah, to create the Zune version. Actually, to create the Zune version of the video and the MP4 version. I think FFmpeg supports those, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to see if we could use this in the client logic for the Magic Folder program that we use to upload to Channel 9. Anyway, I'm kind of going off on a tangent here. But you can imagine lots of uses for FFLive and having all the source available. Which brings us to Picks of the Week. And so this one, you know, not developer related, but it is, you know, science-y and techy, and I think this is really cool. So the first...
And it's the end of the world.
It is going to be the end of the world. I'm pretty sure about that. So the first beam in the Large Hadron Collider. So this is the largest particle accelerator in the world. If you haven't seen this thing, take a look at the map. Just go to the Wikipedia entry. It goes in a loop and goes underneath a few cities. It borders France and Switzerland, and it like crosses across the border. I mean, just massive, this thing. And they can go, I think I counted 8 nines, so 99 point and then
something.
6 nines percent of the speed of light. And so there's a lot of speculation out there that this is going to create a mini black hole.
Yeah, or which will suck up the whole
Earth. Yeah, or create these things called strangelets, which are just weird hypothetical black matter. I don't know.
They say it in their name, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they think they got really creative with that one. But interesting. I frankly don't understand all the experiments that they're running, but it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this.
Well, you know, we are devs. We are not like... These are like crazy people.
Rocket science.
They do like, oh my God. It's like...
Yep. I just hope it means that I get a faster hard drive or something like that out of this whole thing. So that's my pick of the week. Your pick of the week, this is really cool.
Yeah, my pick of the week is named Babylon.net.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like an application where you can use your Visual Studio project, you import them. And if you want to localize your application, you can do that actually inside of this application here. Like you load your project, your Visual Studio project, you open the resource files in here. It gives you actually all the resource files in your project. And you can add a local, like, let's say, Italian.
Mm-hmm.
You have the English version and you want to add Italian. And then you have like a side-by-side, it's like two columns where you see all the like the English version, and then you can directly translate. And you can run a script on it, and it will tell you what you missed, like which strings didn't translate. And if you have a string format, it will also tell you, okay, you know, in the English version you had like 0, 1, you had like 3 arguments. Why have you only 2 in like the Italian version?
Oh,
what's going
nice.
On? You know? And so you get like even feedback on this, and then you can save the whole thing, export it to the Visual Studio project again, and then compile it in Europe and in Visual Studio to get the final
That's
localized
awesome.
application, yeah.
That's really cool. I mean, in the United States, we tend to be a little bit ignorant about these things because we do English for everything. But yeah. You were saying that you live in a part of Italy where how many languages?
We speak German, Italian, and like English.
Wow.
So but I guess in the US it's also getting more important with the Spanish people, like
there's a lot of
Spanish people here, mm-hmm. and I guess it's getting more important too. And I find it really interesting because the Visual Studio isn't offering anything on this, right?
No.
You can do stuff, like you can translate forms and stuff, but the issue is always that if you translate forms, you might miss something because you had something in a resource file out there.
Right.
And you didn't, and you forgot to translate that. Then you get like an Italian form, but some of the stuff is still in English because it didn't find the resource file.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's the issue. Or even you miss stuff because it's like some tiny fonts or like overlapping, you know, that you don't see it in the form.
Right.
And if you use this approach here, you get all the different strings and you can translate and you get even feedback and stuff. And there's also a free version of this available where you can do... it's a translator version where you buy one version of, you buy one license of this, mm-hmm. and then you have like more developers who only do translations of stuff.
Oh, okay.
And then you merge everything back into this one license that you bought, and then you can.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense because we actually have teams of people that do translations.
Yeah, I know.
But they don't generally use Visual Studio. Yeah, they just translate resource files.
Yeah, and they could use that and then merge everything back into the project, and that's it.
Awesome. Great pick of the week. That's very helpful. And that's our show. So we'll see you next week.
Right.
Bye.